All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Over the Fence show here on Regan Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM, coming out of Hamilton, going throughout the Waikato. And on the phone, we're joined by today's guest, Neil Shaw. And how are you today, Neil?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah.
Good stuff. And you were just saying you're down Canterbury ways. How's it down there today?
Yeah, based in Canterbury, and it's a reasonable sort of a day here today. It's usual story down here. It gets a bit dry at this time of the year, but different to what's been going on up in the North Island, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, a beautiful summer up here. I was actually reading out in the headlines that the West Coast is they're talking about droughts already over there.
That's right. Yeah, there's a bit of a saying in Canterbury, you're only ever 10 days away from a drought.
Yeah.
North Wester comes flying in, and away it goes, you know, but that makes the coast pretty wet as well. So at the moment, we've been reasonably fortunate.
Yeah, all right. And so, I guess firstly, Neil, you're from Plasback, I should actually mention, which is a plastic recycling company getting plastic and things off farm. But I guess, firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself first, Neil.
Me personally, I've been in the agricultural sector all my working life, straight from school, and worked for a number of merchants, the old Pinegall Guinness before it became PGG Wrightson's.
Right.
Did a bit of agronomy work there, worked with a couple of chemical companies, and then more latterly for a couple of cooperatives, rural supplies co-ops, and then went and, for my sins, took on the lead role for the Mycoplasma bovis eradication program.
Oh, did
on
you?
Behalf of Assure Quality. Yeah, so
right.
Assure Quality was a essentially a contractor into MPI.
Right,
so,
yep.
My team was delivering the bad news and doing the surveillance testing and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And so was that when it started up in 2018 or something, wasn't it, that one? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. The numbers came down considerably, and then one of my tasks was to obviously disestablish that team and disestablish myself on the way through.
Right.
And that's how I ended up at Plasback about 18 months ago as the commercial manager.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a bit of my background.
All right. Yeah, no, I was just reading out, yet again, just today, that a fifth farm has been found now Outbanks Peninsula with MBOV.
Yeah, most of it seems to be still centred around Canterbury at the moment, the four or five farms that have got infections. Yeah.
Realistically, what are the chances of New Zealand eradicating, do you think, Neil?
That's a whole other topic.
So,
obviously, everybody's got an opinion on this one, but science suggests that it can be done. And we've proven, I guess, that we've been able to get through most of it, the surveillance testing and the bulk tank milk testing and all of the other testing that's in place is obviously helping give a really good picture of where the disease is, and it's not showing up too strongly anywhere at the moment other than, like we say, these four or five farms that are in the Canterbury region.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, if any country can do it, I think we can, right? I think it's going to be a world first if we do too, so that's kind of exciting as well, if we can. Okay, but anyways, you've been at Plasback for 18 months, and what got you interested in that one, Neil?
Yeah, it's an interesting place to be. The Plasback business was started back in 2005 by a company called AgPak, which some of your listeners will be aware of. AgPak brings quite a lot of plastic into the market to bale hay and silage. So all of those bales that you see sitting around in paddocks and things like that, that's the type of product that was brought in. And AgPak determined that it needed to do something about the waste that was being created. So they identified that, 15, 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And set about trying to establish some sort of collection methodology, and of course it was all voluntary, and at that stage not a lot of the industry or the merchant channels were really that interested. There was nothing to compel anybody to do any recycling, so it was a bit of a slow burn for a while. I think in the first year of operation the business collected about 9 ton of waste plastic.
Okay.
And 15 years later, we've just completed this year, and we've collected 5,500 tonnes.
Right.
So, and it's all voluntary at this stage, but it will become mandated. So, excuse me, but I saw it as a good opportunity to get involved in an area of the business that is still in what I consider to be my sweet spot, which is the agricultural sector.
Yeah.
And doing something useful around managing this waste, on behalf of the agricultural sector and doing something positive with it. everything we collect is recycled. So, you know, there's a few cynics out there that talk about, you guys just take this stuff and stick it in a landfill or whatever. But, you know, that's a zero-sum game for us. We don't actually... We can't make a living from doing that sort of thing, and it's not the right way to handle the plastic.
Yeah, no, that's right, Neil. Yeah, it's and I'm trying to think, when did you know, hay and that start getting actually wrapped in plastic? How many years ago was that, do you remember?
Well, it would have been a while ago now. It's testing me a bit, certainly in the early 2000s, I would have thought.
That sort of sounds about right to me, I think, when I first started seeing it around. And so Plasback jumped up from there, and, I mean, what did you say, 5,500 tonnes just this year, was it?
Yeah, just in the last 12 months. So
that's good numbers. Really, are you happy with that number? Or?
It's not a bad number. We reckon it's probably still sitting at about maybe 50% of what's actually going into the market.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so it's still a bit of work to do, but I think the thing you've got to remember is that this is all voluntary. So it really, there's nothing to compel anybody to do this. It's really about whether or not the farmer or the manager wants to actually take on this process and actually contribute to having the product collected and processed. So there's not any funding for this. There's no levy funding currently. So unless the farmer contributes financially to having the product collected, then nothing happens.
Yeah.
So there's still people out there that are happy to bury it or burn it. We'll just keep working our way through the list of farms, I guess.
Yeah. Have you heard any rumblings out of Beehive about making it kind of mandatory or something like that, or give some sort of encouragement towards farmers to get into that? Or
that's a good question. The short answer is yes. So the government put up I think it was six different waste streams that were going into a mandated process, and they were things like refrigerants and tyres and e-waste. Agricultural chemical containers, etc. And one of those was farm plastics, which is where Plasback sits.
Okay, yeah.
So that's been gazetted, and that means that the scheme will take place in July 2024, that's when it will kick off.
Right.
So what that means basically is that anybody that's bringing plastic into the market in New Zealand, whether it's been manufactured within New Zealand or imported, will have to pay a levy. That levy will then be paid into a product stewardship organisation. It won't be Plasback. And then Plasback would be one of the collecting agencies that could be funded to go and actually collect that product.
Right.
So that means that the farmer would no longer directly write a cheque out to Plasback to collect that product. But more than likely, the levy would be applied to the product that was being sold into the market. As it is today in the agricultural chemical sector, there's a levy already applied to chemical containers going into the market.
Yeah, and I think the product stewardship thing, I mean, it's not going to be just for farmers. It's kind of all over the board, really, isn't it? The government's talking about doing stuff like that, aren't they?
That's right. And, right now, the agricultural sector is the sector that, you know, I'm charged with making sure that we can help clean the plastic up, but you know, tyres will be in there, won't be part of what we're mandated scheme that we're running, but we could possibly pick those up while we're there. Those are the sorts of things that will I guess evolve over time. The one thing about it is that it changes weekly, you know, in terms of what's going on and what the opportunities might be and where the challenges sit and things like that as well.
Okay, and I suppose with elections or what have you this year as well, you know, who knows what will happen after that, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, some things slow down a bit, obviously, in an election year in terms of decision-making and processes.
So I guess run us through the process of when the plastic leaves the farm, Neil. What run us through it from the farm gate to you guys.
Well, I'll wind it back slightly for some of your listeners that may not be au fait with what goes on. But essentially, a contractor or a farmer will bale the hay on farm, and that plastic obviously sits around the bale until it's used. When that plastic is cut off the bale feeding out, We have a bin and liner system that we operate. So it's essentially a 1.3 cubic metre bin that has simply what we'd call what we refer to as like a rubbish bin liner that goes inside that bin.
Right.
And then you proceed to put your plastic inside that liner. You can get about, depending on how well you pack it, between maybe 150 to 200 bale wraps in that bag.
Right.
And there's many ways of doing that. So some farmers will put a tire on a chain and drop it in on top of the plastic and then leave it there. And then when they get their next lot of plastic, obviously they'll take it out, put the plastic in, and then drop the tire back on top again.
That's crafty one.
Press it down. Yeah, well, it maximises the amount you can get in there.
Yeah.
When that bag will weigh about 200 kilos by the time it's filled up. Twist the top off on it and zip tie it shut. And the bin that it sits in is just essentially a clip. It's a shell that just clips around the bag. So you unclip it, move the bin, and then set it up again next to the bag that's full, put another bag in and start the process again.
Right.
So it's quite a simple process. Once you've got enough bags, you know, and everybody's different, so some people might only fill one bag, some might fill five bags every couple of weeks. I mean, you just don't know. It depends on the size of the property.
Yeah.
They will then book a collection, and we have 14 collectors across the country. So we've got the country covered, so it doesn't matter where you are, we can get to you and pick up your farm plastic.
Oh, that's good.
And so you book a collection there. You can book a collection through the Plasback website, which is plasback.co.nz, and there's a button there that you can click on, and you'll just fill out what you've got that needs to be collected, etc., and then that will come through our system and be allocated to the collector in your region.
Right. Yeah.
Then the collector will go and make that collection. Nine of our collectors have balers on their properties, and what they will do is then bring those bags back to the farm, and they will bale those bags. So we get, depending on how well they're filled, let's call it five or six bags to a bale.
Right.
So those bales weigh about 1.2 ton.
Right, right.
And then some of the product is processed and recycled in New Zealand, and some of it is processed and recycled offshore,
okay,
depending on where the need is from our perspective.
Yep.
The product that's recycled offshore is actually blown out into builder's film. So
right.
If you remember the plastic that goes under a concrete floor when you're pouring a pad and things like that.
Yeah.
Use it for that sort of thing. And you can buy that through hardware stores. And then in New Zealand, we have a product made called Tough Board. And Tough Board is, if you can imagine, a piece of board that's similar in dimension to plywood.
Yeah.
So it's about 1.2 metres wide, about 2.4 metres long. And it comes in different thicknesses. So you can get 4, 6, 9 and 12 mil boards.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have it in a roll, like a 2 mil thick, 30 meter long roll.
Right.
And that's used for all sorts of applications. So that's used in for trailer decks, deer yards, carving pens, horse floats.
Right.
You name it. Yeah, whatever you can think of. Now it's not suitable for obviously lining your sleep out and things like that. It's not brand approved.
Right, okay, yeah.
It's a very good product. It's a very good plywood substitute, and we've seen significant uptake because it's hygienic, so it can be washed and wiped down and things like that. So if you're in a situation where you might be de-horning or something like that, you know, the deer cutting velvet, whatever it might be, it's found its way into that market because it's a hygienic sort of a product.
Yeah, it'd be good for like your calf yards and things like that too, I'd imagine, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yep, all of those. Piggeries. Don't seem to destroy that the way they do plywood.
Interesting.
So, it's all sorts of uses. And then we've had a number of approaches from people that are finding all sorts of weird and wonderful things to do with them.
Fantastic.
So everything that we collect is recycled. And essentially, if it's not made into Tough Board, or if it's not made into, say, the builder's film or another product we have called Tough Deck, which is an interlocking decking that you can use to walk on, and it's being used in wall sheds and things like that.
Right, yep.
Then the recycled resin is sold on the open market.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, that's what I say. If we can't recycle it, then we won't collect it at this point in time. There's no point.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the resin, that does it get sold mainly in New Zealand or like overseas?
No, most of the product that we have recycled, so the recycled product is definitely sold in New Zealand.
Right.
But we have, obviously, offshore recycling and we have onshore recycling because we've got different arrangements with different products being made in different places.
Right.
So it depends on who's got the capability to make the products that we're looking for.
Okay, yeah. Oh, interesting stuff. Yeah, okay. And so, okay, you got the tough board, you got the tough deck. What are the products you guys?
We've got a couple of interesting products coming down the track. Actually, they're just in their infancy, but they're agriculturally focused, and they will be made from recycled product as well. So, what we look at is where can we actually make a difference and demonstrate a circular economy in the ag sector. So while we do collect the plastic, you know, we also know that we need to be able to think about what might be required from the farming community that could substitute for existing plastics that may be made from virgin material.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you've got to watch with recycled plastic is that particularly agricultural plastics and things like that, they're not, once they've been recycled, you can't actually use them for anything that's food grade.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah.
They don't meet that standard because they've been recycled.
Right.
So, you know, food grade plastics are almost always virgin plastics.
Right, okay then, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
And, yeah. So on your website, you've got a couple of interesting things like bins for like food scraps and things like that.
That's right. The Uber bins. That's URBA, yeah, and they come in different sizes, 30 and 40 litre bins, and they're stackable bins, so it helps you with segregating your waste. You know, you can stack one on top of the other, and have one for food waste, and you know, one for paper or whatever it might be, and you know, just label them. So it makes it easy for people to understand. A little bit like the concept you see in towns now, where you have the different bins. This is just a smaller version of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Another good initiative, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So we've got, as I said earlier in your program, we've picked up collected about 5,500 tonnes of product last year, and we've got about 7,000 bins in the market at the moment across the agricultural sector.
Okay.
And really, I think the biggest impact in the last 2 years to the uptake has actually been the Fonterra Cooperative Difference, which is actually recognising Fonterra shareholders for the work they do around sustainable farming practices.
Okay.
And one of those practices is the way you manage your waste on farm or your plastic. And if you do that effectively, then that counts towards the extra payment that you'll get.
Okay.
One of four criteria, and I think you have to get three out of the four criteria to be eligible for the payment.
Right.
So we've seen a boost in an interest around dealing with your waste plastic.
Okay.
From that, yeah, it would be the single biggest driver, I think, of the increase in business for plastic over the last 12 to 18 months.
Okay, well, that's a good thing, anyways. Yeah.
And
you've recently joined forces with Ag Recovery, who I guess they do a similar thing to you guys, do they? Or
yeah, so Ag Recovery started life about the same time as Plasmac, but it was focused on the collection of the agricultural chemical drums.
Yes.
So the agricultural chemical industry pays a levy, and I believe it's about 12 cents a litre levy. Into Ag Recovery, and then Ag Recovery has been responsible for dealing with the collection and disposal, if you want to call that, or recycling of agricultural chemical drums.
Right.
Which is good. Plasmac was founded on a need to deal with what we call stretch film and silage pit covers.
Right, yeah.
And then, of course, we're both doing a similar thing in the market, but Ag Recovery is a not-for-profit charitable trust.
Right.
And Plasmac is commercially owned and operated.
Mm-hmm.
So we had different drivers, I guess, in terms of our business models. And when I joined the business, Tony Wilson, the CEO of AgRecovery, and myself, we got together and had a bit of a chat about what needed to be happening in the industry. And we've aligned ourselves to make sure that we can, I guess, offer the complete service to customers, being people that are putting product into the market, mm-hmm. and obviously making sure the farmers are able to get that product back off the farm, and we can do something with it appropriately. So, yeah, we try and work together and across the sector and make sure that, you know, everything's in order, really. But it's a long process, and we're all learning as well, because one of the biggest problems with these products is actually logistics. You know, it's, New Zealand's not an easy country to get around with this sort of stuff. And if you're trying to get onto every farm in the country, you know, some of them are a bit harder to get to than others as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I'm just looking through what other things you can work with here too, and there's like polypropylene bags you can recycle, and drum recycling, and even vineyard nets and twine and things like that. That's interesting.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that's it's a good point. So, you know, to the layperson, you know, plastic's plastic. So if I just chuck it all in the bag, she'll be right. Let's get it recycled. We have to actually handle this product in single streams.
Yep.
So while we run the Plasback bin and liner system, you know, it doesn't mean that you can throw stretch film and bags and twine and everything all in the same bag. Because the way the product is processed is different, and you've got to keep it in its different streams. So one of our biggest challenges is actually educating people to make sure they understand the quality of the product is important. So we don't want too much in the way of contamination.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. So giving the product a bit of a shake before you throw it in the bag is always a great idea.
Yeah.
Not leaving it on the ground. So we get some instances where it's left on the ground in a bit of a heap, and then somebody will come along with a front-end loader and pick it up and put it in the bag, and there'll be half a bucket of soil in the bag as well.
Right. Yeah.
So, those sorts of things, which is not a good look for what we're trying to do, that's for sure.
Okay. I think you're doing a great thing there. And I guess if any sort of farmers are listening who might want to get involved, what's the best way to go about that one, Neil?
Yeah, so coming through the website, or we do have a free phone number there as well on the website.
It's a very nice website too, by the way. Yeah.
Thanks. And if you're not sure how it all works, there is a video on the front of the on the homepage showing that. It's about a 4-minute watch, so it won't take too much out of your day if you want to see how it all works. And then you can give us a call, and we can certainly get you organised. No problem at all.
Fantastic. All right, Neil, anything else you kind of want to add for the listeners today?
No, I think we've actually covered it. But, you know, we're more than happy to talk to individuals or groups. So at the end of the day, if somebody's saying, hey, I'm interested in this, and I've got a few of my colleagues that would be, then, yeah, by all means. We have enough people that are travelling around at times that we can always arrange to catch up and talk you through it.
Yeah, nice one. Oh, well, excellent stuff, Neil. Thanks very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Coming on and having to talk to us about this. And so there you are, folks. Plasback, so yeah, plastic on farm, and like I say, like twine and your polyprop bags and everything. Yeah, they can all go. But yeah, just got to separate them out properly, Neil.
Yeah, you do.
All right. Well, thanks again, Neil. Really appreciate it. And go well. It's a good thing you guys are doing. And changes come along, we'll keep in touch and see how the whole product stewardship thing goes, because I think it's very interesting what may or may not happen there. So thanks again.
No problem. Our pleasure.
All right. Hey, cheers, Neil.
Thanks.
All right. See you. See ya. All right, folks, there we are. That was Neil Shaw there from Plasback. Yeah, it's a good initiative they're doing, isn't it, folks? So good on those people.